Our speaker today is Lynn Kay, and she will be speaking on the spiritual malady. Lynn, are you okay to be recorded?
Yes, I am.
All right, awesome. So take it away. Thank
All
you.
right, there we go. Well, 20 minutes, right? Hi, everybody. My name is Lynn, and I'm a compulsive eater, and it's so great to be here and wonderful format of the meeting. Great to see some familiar faces. And my mind tells me this is a spiritual, the spiritual malady tells me that this was a terrible idea. I've got so much going on today. Why would I speak? It's a middle of day. It's not my normal lunchtime. I have to tell my boss I'm not available, so he doesn't call me. And that's what my mind does to me at any given moment. It's an hour of my life. And it can become so painful. So I'm just to qualify really quick, I've been in the in my food fellowship for 23 years. I've recommitted 8 months of abstinence. I've been looking at the Big Book for a long time, and Big Book Awakening for me really revolutionized how I look at my program, and most importantly, how I connect with my higher power, how I'm able to see when I'm not connected with my higher power. So I always break my share down, whatever meeting I'm doing, I always break it down into this first the physical, then the mental obsession, and then the spiritual malady. So I'll start with what it looks like when I'm untreated, because I think I could be, I know for me, I could be doing anything externally in my life, with what it looks like with my activities, my relationships, my career, everything can either be done spiritually fit or untreated. And I certainly in the past had a tendency to think of like I've got to good girl myself into happy sobriety, so to speak, and it doesn't work that way for me. I can't, I what I always say, and what just resonates the best for me is the spiritual malady for me is that I can't, with my own mind that I came here with the personality that I developed from the time I was very young. Through the times that I picked up substances, whichever substance it happened to be at any given time. And I've worked the steps in BBA around food and also controlling, fixing, obsessing. Certainly qualify for, and I do qualify in another fellowship as well, although those are the two areas that I've worked the steps. But I can't, with my own mind, create a world that I want to be in. And that's, that is the long and short of it. I want to escape from it. I create an experience in my mind with my personality and the way I look at the world and people, places, and things that I want to run away from, that I can't handle it. It's so uncomfortable. It's so toxic that I just look for ways to detach from it, to run away from it, to numb the feelings that I have. And in the BBA, I love how they take the bedevilments, and we start out in step one doing it with that third part, that spiritual malady that says, where am I? Can I make a living? I'll go right into that page. Can I make a living? Can I assist? Can I help other people? I should have probably had marked the page, sorry. And actually, I have it on my screen because I was looking at it from a, sorry, bear with me. Wasting, waste, time wasting. Being able to look through all the areas of my life, and I'm not going to be able to find it in the moment because I closed it. And be able to look and go, yeah, you know what? Like on a scale of 1 to 10. I just lost you guys. Oh, here we go. On a scale of 1 to 10, what does my life look like? And I can do that at any given time. I mean, any given day, my life around my career could be like 8 out of 10. It could be a 2 out of 10, right? I'm feeling underappreciated. I have themes that run in my spiritual malady: underappreciated, feeling like a victim, unable to say no, feeling trapped. Nobody listens to me. Nobody takes my advice. They don't, they do whatever they want, and I get handed all the crap to fix it. And that is what that and a career for me is a huge part of of where my spirituality manifests. And for years before I came into this fellowship, I had no idea that that was all happening, right? Like I thought complaining about work was something everybody did, you know, and I hung out with people who reinforced that because that's, you know, I hung out with people who hated the same people I did and complained about work and felt like a victim and all the things, you know. And I remember going years ago, going to counseling and just thinking, you know, if I could just communicate what I needed better, then I'd be happy. That's what it is. Like, okay, so and so it went from blaming other people completely to, okay, well, the onus is on me to, you know, communicate to people what it is that I need. And I know that's not the case. And so this idea of this spirituality, and it's all from the inside. It all starts on the inside. And one of the things in particular, too, it's come up for me recently. And those of people who know me know I love Harry Tebow. And of course, Harry Tebow's talked about at the end, or there's a quote from Harry Tebow at the end of the BBA First Step. That's one of the papers I do like, but he's got one about compliance versus surrender. And I love when he talks about the person who's in this conflicted, non-surrendered state constantly argues with oneself. And it says they buy tickets to a show, and by the time the show comes, and I laugh because it's exactly, it's so me. By the time the show is coming, they wish they never had the idea. So as soon as I commit to something, I hate the idea that I've committed to it. I don't want to commit to it. I want to just do what I want to do right now. And it could be a lot of stuff underneath it. I could have the fears of not doing well. I could have the, you know, the fears of being rejected. I could be like, hey, what if something better comes along? You know, the FOMO. There are a lot of things behind it, but what it feels like is always the same. I am a house divided. I cannot be happy with a decision that I've made. I keep going back and forth in my head, just like I did. If I'm abstinent around food at the time, it's exactly the same thing. If anybody's had that experience of I'm going to eat it, I'm not going to eat it. I'm going to eat it, I'm not going to eat it. In this case, or whatever substance it is, and in this case, it's I don't want to go, I don't want to do it. And then it's like, well, you're being silly, you know. And then on the other side of that, I will find ways to sabotage it and not do it, and find myself going back to that place of like, when am I not going to demonstrate that behavior? It's not old behavior if I keep doing it. Certain tasks in my, you know, and they're not particularly odious. I mean, any work for me in general is somewhat odious. Very simple, very few things about my job that I actually get up and go, you know what, I can't wait today just to do some filing, you know, can't wait to make a difficult conversation, can't wait to put a presentation out and hoping there's not a mistake. Any of that stuff has its level of challenge. But it's just it becomes odious because I said I would do it. And one of my writings for today from one of for the literature talked about hope and some of the questions that kind of came up for me. One of them was saying, like, where do I believe that I don't, where am I tempted to believe that I don't see the opportunity for change, that I don't have hope that this part of my life will ever get better? And I think that is like there's no God. Like the questions were posed in BBA says, you know, am I at today with my career? And then it's like, if there is no God. So we started out like, this is just where it's at, right? This is my baseline on an everyday where I'm at today. And then I can say, and it says in the thing, if nothing changed and everything were exactly like it was going today, going to be the same, if there is no God, what are my prospects? And so the question that really hit me today, because I don't know why. I don't know what's going on. I mean, in particular with me right now, that I'm very emotional. And I actually, interestingly enough, burst into tears, literally was, and it's not a like, oh no, like that's really bad thing. It actually was like something's happening, something's shifting, something's moving. And it was, where in my life am I tempted to believe nothing will change? What evidence do I have that growth is happening, even if I can't measure it today? And what would hope look like as an action rather than a feeling? And so for me, I often rely on motivation. I want to rely on that feeling where I'm being moved to do the work. I'm being moved to do something. And if that motivation isn't there, then somehow I'm alone, right? Somehow I'm not getting what I need. And the truth is, motivation rarely for me is the thing. Motivation comes from doing some little thing. And one of the biggest treatments, if you will, of spirituality for me, whether or not I choose to do it or not, or be willing to remember it in the time, I should really tattoo it on my forehead backwards, is doing something, doing some little thing that actually just unsticks me. Which is, I mean, whether that's because of like proven known dysregulate or, treatments for dysregulation or spirituality or whatever it is the truth. And it could be all of the above, right? But doing one little thing, what am I willing to do today, makes a difference. And acting as if doing that thing is going to make a difference. And for me, it's doing writing. Sometimes it's service. Lately, service has been a challenge for me because I do too much. And I do, I'll kind of bring in an example of of where something changed. So I was asked, if you will, to act in a level of service that I had not expected. In actuality, the original service wasn't really what I would normally, given where I was at with my recovery, because I have a recommitted abstinence. I do not have 5 years of abstinence. I have 23 years in the program, and I have 8 years of recommitted abstinence, or excuse me, 8 months of recommitted abstinence. And I was asked to do something that, generally speaking, I wouldn't have met the requirement. So first things first, in my spiritual malady, I did not say that's a wonderful, flattering ask, but I don't meet the requirement. And I'm going to set that boundary for me. Because I never want to let anyone down. And I don't want to ever seem like I'm lazy. And I don't want to ever maybe hurt a relationship that I think if I don't do that thing, that person may reject me and be upset with me based on just minor experiences we've had where I felt rejected and shut down or shut out. And so I didn't. And then the ask got more. And instead of saying, like, you know what, the last ask was probably a bridge too far, I said yes. And I'm in this, and this is from January-ish, February-ish, up until literally, I think Judith knows, it was like the first of June. We had our last kind of group thing on it. And I was stressing. I was stressing. And I'm like, what am I, and this is me. I'm behind the scenes going, what am I doing? What, oh gosh, maybe pray about it. And so luck, and this is where the change, because I went to the last situation, we had a meeting about the thing. And I knew that I needed to be out. And it was not, at that point, it didn't matter what everybody else was going to do, because I knew from my higher power that I needed to be out. So I went to that meeting, and I was ready to be out. I was like, I don't, and I gave the reasons for why I think that in general we needed to be out, but I was ready. If it was like, no, we think we're good, blah, 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 I was absolutely ready to say, I'm out. I am out. And would I have needed to call my husband and hold my hand? God, yes, because I'm a freaking chicken, but I was ready. I was ready to do it because I knew God was telling me that I needed to be out. And that all the things that I had just talked about how I look at my life and being a performer and, my hustles, like being the go-to for everybody, that is not God's plan for me right now. God's plan is not for me to be the go-to for everybody and the fixer and the spack, call it spackle. So, like, this has got a gap. Let's just like, and I'm not saying that other people do that to me. I've done it, and I've reinforced the ask by continuing to do it. So I get to see those patterns. But it's like, what can I do? It's all about reliance on God. And everything in the last couple of days that I've seen has been about relying on God. And I get these little daily meditation things, and one of them was before anything, God first. And I'm like, well, that's funny that that came to me today. And I just saw, I don't even know where I saw it, but they were talking about Carl Jung, as talked about in our book, in the BBA literature. It describes the psychiatrist, the well-known psychiatrist is Carl Jung. So I don't have a problem bringing up Carl Jung at this meeting, because we know Carl Jung was a psychiatrist treating Roland Hazard, who was the guy in the big book that was the businessman who had his life together, except for the fact that he was, increasingly institutionalized for being a progressive alcoholic. beyond redemption. I shouldn't laugh, that's not funny, but like he was really bad off. And I just saw something like out of the blue that was talking about Carl Jung saying that, that the addictive process is really about a low level version of going for connection. And it's like without some knowing how to get to God, that's always where I'm going to go. And that's what I get in, thank you. That's what I get in these fellows. That's what I get in BBA, because it gives me a method, a performance that says, if you try this and you have hope that if you do this, it'll work. Not the surface, like, okay, fine, which I do believe, and I love that Harry Thiebaud says, there is no shame in if compliance is all you got right now, because compliance is what you got. And it isn't a conscious, oh, I think I'll just do some compliance today, right? Like, so I think it's easy for all of us to judge ourselves, to be harsh with ourselves, to feel like I'm just gonna surrender today. That's it. I'm gonna like pull myself up by my spiritual bootstraps and surrender. And Harry Thiebaud, one of my favorite papers, The Act of the Surrender in the Therapeutic Process, which in one of my fellowships is almost word for word quoted in the back of our book in one of the appendixes. It says it is not a conscious act. It comes about through usually external processes. Something happens, and it's where defiance and grandiosity are knocked out of the driver's seat. And I think for me today, that was where that crying came from, that willingness to just say, yeah, just be with me, God. Just let me feel your presence. Let me feel your presence and rely on you before I say yes, before I say no, before I do something. Just do that. That is what I need. That's what this process of going through the work, taking people through the work to the best of my ability, which has also been one of my, I love taking people through the work, but as a friend of mine said to somebody else, which I, or they said their sponsor said it to them, is your work is to, your job is to take them through the work, not make sure goddamn well they get it. And that's one thing that I've had a challenge with. Not controlling, fixing, obsessing, worrying that I'm not good enough, any comment that a sponsee gives me about my performance is like, existential crisis. I get to just take it to God. I go, I'm just another fellow trying to do my best to make this work in my life, and take it to higher power, take it to prayer and meditation, take it to people who I know love me and want the best for me. As objectively as possible, because people have agendas, they're all human. But I'm so grateful for this process, because it takes me methodically through this work, and it takes me methodically through a method of living that starts with every day when I get up going like, wow, you know what? I don't have to be alone today. I'm connected today. And I'll be honest, I actually use an AI prompt to give me reflection questions from writings and things like that, because I need extra help. And today the thing that I create visuals so I could do a meditation on a visual, and it was a lighthouse, and it said, recovery is not a calm sea without storms. It is finding a lighthouse, a compass, and a crew that help me stay the course one day at a time. I am. And a big thing for me, I want to make sure to say, is like the idea of like foundational living, is that I used to feel like I had to change who I was for everybody. And this is before I even knew of the fellowship. I fell back into this a lot in the fellowship, especially in the fellowship, which is crazy. I mean, these are all, we're all in this together, and it's like that's where my thing right now, my jam right now, is about authenticity, asking for help, that not being the go-to. My hustle was being the go-to to feel safe. Now my hustle is asking for help, being vulnerable, and that's what I want to aspire to. But I put this because I believe this firmly, that the only antidote to feeling like you're like on the ocean flopping around with what everybody thinks of you is a foundation in spiritual principle that keeps me grounded. Like it has an I have an anchor. Like the seas may be flopping around, but I'm anchored. I know what I'm supposed to do. I need the help from God to have courage and what's the word? Consistency. And I'm forgetting the word, but it's like integrity. Integrity is huge. That's where my two parts come back together. And perseverance. That's the word I was forgetting. But today it says, I wrote, I'm not a rudderless ship. I'm not left supported to be tossed upon an angry sea. Today I choose hope, the next right action, and I trust that I am never alone. And that for me really sums it. Like, I'm not alone. I have all of you to come to. Not and stop showing up. This is just for me today. It's my timer for me. Stop showing up to be always an instructor, a guide, a giver, and start showing up to actually get what I need out of this fellowship and this program and my higher power, which is sanity, love, unity, and all the spiritual principles of the steps. And with that, I yield back my time. Mwah, mwah.